Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome in to the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI. Patriots get the win in Miami in an exciting football game that was not necessarily well played. Lots of penalties, lots of mistakes for both teams. But you had, I think, the Drake May game that everybody wanted to see. The offense came out firing. The quarterback, who had too much on his plate a week earlier, came out with confidence, efficiency, execution. And the Patriots get the much-needed road victory that had multiple missed PATs, bad kickoffs, kick returns, punt returns, pretty much anything you want to see in the sport of football, good and bad, came in this game. And one of the most entertaining games you'll ever see, if you were able to look past the idiocy that was the CBS broadcast that lacked audio at times, that was just annoying as F, as my friend Nick Fitzy Stevens might say. Fitzy, that was an awesome game between two teams that are not awesome.
Andy, phenomenal, unbelievable game. I mean, not a great game as in, like, we're not going to be looking back on this one come Super Bowl 60 saying, oh, this is where we knew that team turned their season around, the Patriots punched their ticket, and a new dynasty was born. But was that a thoroughly entertaining 3+ hours where we thought the Patriots were going to find a way to blow it time and time again in their Miami Gardens House of Horrors? And they almost did. Believe me, they tried to find multiple ways to do so. But in the end, I mean, this was just meant to be. I cannot believe, honestly, I'm still sweating watching that. The idea that Achane stepped out of bounds by the whisker of a cleat, preventing the touchdown on that run, is just beyond unbelievable. And then the huge sack from Milton Williams, you magnificent $104 million son of a blank. What a play that was, just when the Patriots needed it as well. And they came out so hot, hotter than the weather down in South Beach, then reverted back to their old Miami Gardens ways. And we thought, yep, we've seen this movie before. I didn't like it the first time. Haven't liked it the last five times. That's their first win against Tua as a starter, which is humongous. Vrabel goes to 3-0 against Tua in his lifetime now. And the Pats get on the board. And the biggest thing is, Andy, instead of blowing it, instead of finding a way to blow it, which is what they did last year, this year they found a way to win it. And it's that sort of like resolve and effort that they displayed that really just made it I'm just almost kind of speechless. Like, I'm so glad I didn't turn it off or tell that game to go home for being drunk multiple times, because it was bananas and it was just so entertaining.
I'm going to say a lie right now off the top of the show here just to get it out of the way. Not a negative word will be heard from me today for two reasons. And that was a lie. I'm going to have lots of negative words later because there's lots of negatives in this game. But Sue started off, you mentioned it. They entertained me. I can't tell you how much more entertaining this game was than the bulk of the Patriots games of the last 2+ seasons. I will take that. Again, I don't know what it means. If I'm a coach of either of these two teams, I am pissed. I am not happy with the penalties and the mistakes. And it was pure idiocy on both sides of the ball for large portions of the game. Be that as it may, as a fan sitting at home, very entertaining, although neither team will be buying any. They may be buying tickets to the Super Bowl. They'll not be getting any free tickets to the Super Bowl. And two, ask and ye shall receive. Drake May was awesome. Drake mm-hmm. May was efficient. Mm-hmm. Drake May was decisive and confident and a playmaker rather than a mistake avoider. Some of those throws, hitting guys in stride on wheel routes, certainly the Ramondre Stevenson one where he steps up in the pocket, just flicks it, great catch. The touchdown run, there was almost nothing that I disliked about Drake May's game today. By far the best performance we've seen in a year plus of his professional career. And we've been asking for it. We've been asking, we were questioning Schefter when he said, Drake May clearly has it. And we were like, you've been watching different games than we've been watching. Where are you seeing this it? Is that an alternate broadcast?
Yeah, you've been just listening to a lot of clips from the spring when everyone had the Pats winning 10, 11, 12 games and making it back to the playoffs.
He had it today. He had it?
Yeah.
I saw it. And those two things are, for me, a huge takeaway. You entertained me. And remember something that their head coach has been asking, a couple things actually, their head coach has been asking for, and they gave it to their head coach today. They started fast. He wants you to start fast. They started fast. Everyone not named Andy Borogalis was awesome out the gates. Mm-hmm. And the second part that he's been asking for, be good enough to take advantage of other teams' bad football. When other teams give you an opportunity, take it. And you said the Patriots didn't blow the game. You might want to argue the Dolphins blew the game. The Dolphins mm-hmm. made some mistakes that blew the game. Who cares? That's the way the NFL works. That's the way the NFL works. Bill Belichick said it for 25 years, and you people enjoyed many victories because more games are, quote, lost in the NFL than they are won. The Dolphins are a losing football team, losing organization, losing quarterback right now. It doesn't matter. You're 1-1. They're 0-2. Good for you.
Yes, and I don't know if today is necessarily the day that you say it's time to order the box to put the Mike McDaniel era in, and the rest of the however much longer he coaches is going to be just about sealing the box, making sure you invite people to watch it get dumped in the harbor or lit aflame and sent wherever else it should go, nailing it in the coffin, etc. I mean, they did everything they needed to do on offense to win the game, including calling the right play. The guy steps out of bounds at the end. So, yeah, each team, Miami just found more ways to blow it than the Patriots did in the end. But to your point, and once again, everyone, you are listening to the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy and Hart live on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. If you want to call in with your exhalations of relief, your squeals of joy, your Foxborough football frustrations, Fitzy and Hart are here for all of them up until a little bit after 6 o'clock, at which time we throw it on over to the MassMutual pregame show for the Red Sox, who could use a little Miami miracle of their own these days, as they have lost the last two to the Yankees and are watching their playoff chances fitter away. Producer Tom Crisafulli will have your trending sports updates later on in the show and be manning the text line. And, of course, that number is also 617-779-7937. Andy, I got to say, there are a couple of things offensively I saw today that, I don't know, kind of like relit a Pat spark in my heart. One, like you said, Drake May displaying the it factor, moving so well in the pocket, not running into sacks. As a matter of fact, the first of the three sacks that he took overall in the game was one of those classic Josh McDaniels overthinking himself type of plays. It was the double fake. Where,
slow developing, yes.
The slow develop. Like, if you remember, since I know you've got a little bit of a football archive and a Patriots Google like I do, that was the first play from scrimmage the Patriots ran in Super Bowl 42, and the Giants blew it up. And that's when I thought, going in the Wayback Machine, like, oh boy, they're on us tonight. This is going to be a completely different type of game.
Yeah, the difference there was they had an offensive line that had three Pro Bowlers on it. This offensive line has two rookies and a Bradbury and a Moses that doesn't know the snap count on it.
Yeah, so not exactly the greatest play. I think a lot of people online thought, oh, did they hold that one over from the AVP era? Like, no, that's Josh being Josh outthinking himself. But Drake moved beautifully in the pocket today, only had three sacks on the day. And like I said, that first one definitely was not his fault. 19 of 23, super efficient, 230 yards, two touchdowns. And I have to say, Andy, the play that this game should be remembered for most of all, it may be the holy smokes, I can't believe Devon Achane stepped out of bounds when he could have won the game for the Fins. To me, the momentum is all going the way of the Dolphins. Like the Pats have found a way to fritter it away. Miami's about to seize control of this game. And the Pats are on offense, and it was like 3rd and 7 from their 20-something. And Drake rolled right and found Ramondre on like a miracle escape wheel and hit Ramondre the Giant in stride for 56 yards. Pats then punched it in. Gibson had a big run. They get the touchdown. That was massive. That was if I thought for a while, like maybe it was the Behringer 71-yard punt that would save them, but you can't really say a 71-yard punt would save your bacon. But that play from Drake to Ramondre showcased his improvisational ability, his athleticism, his knowledge of where everyone was on the field. And most importantly, and I think this is something you've talked about before, but now we've seen on full display under pressure in legitimately the hottest of environments, his calm and his cool and collection under pressure on that play.
When he is looking to make plays, he's fun. He's a playmaker. He's productive. He is the guy with it, potentially. He is the guy that you drafted 3 overall.
And if you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
What was worse, the way the Patriots decided to start playing defense late in the second quarter through early in the fourth, the kicking of Borregales or the CBS broadcast in the first half?
I'm going to go kicking with Borregales, but the CBS broadcast was right up there, especially if you followed along on social media. A lot of people were cranky as F, but they got that cleaned up. Borregales, I don't know how to describe what he did because he got it cleaned up enough to hit a long field goal and then immediately got the penalty for not putting the kickoff in the landing zone in the ensuing kickoff.
Why can't you do two nice things in a row, kid?
He's a mess. He is a little bit of a mess right now.
That's where he kicked in college, for God's sake. You'd think he'd be able to make a 50-yarder blindfolded.
Along those notes, a sneaky negative just came out of the Drake May press conference, if you're listening closely, when he was talking about why he thought he was so accurate and efficient early to Andrew Callahan's question, and he said, shoot, I don't know, humidity, I grew up in that, threw the ball wet, and I'm like, whoa, are you made for throwing in the South? Because I got bad news, you play in the North most of the year, so so once a year you're going to be good at Hard Rock Stadium, I'm going to need you to be good like 7 or 8 times a year at Gillette Stadium where it's cold and your hands are going to be dry and there's not going to be any humidity. That was a sneaky didn't like that answer kind of thing for the North Carolina boy.
Yeah, we knew Mac Jones didn't like the cold, Andy, because he talked about not only talked about the weather, but then all the other things he didn't like about New England, including stuff like seafood. Drake May, though, he really may like it and may even have to make requests to, like, have heaters on the sidelines. Is he going to have to, like, wear an extra layer? I always thought it was funny when Brady used to wear the neoprene suit. We used to call it Scuba Tom. He literally looked like he had been diving before he would play some of those winter games. But if May likes it like that, I got news for him. Wait until he gets like a start in November where it's like 39 and it's rain, sleet, hailing sideways, and most people in the lots with faces that look like it sloth from the weather in New England are just going to be like, oh, I live for this kid. This is true New England weather. I hope he's not a softy like that, is he?
No, but this is the second time in about 5 days that he's referenced the New England weather. If you remember on Wednesday, he said something to the effect, it'll be nice to go down there where it's warm. It's gotten a little cold here in New England. And I'm like, it was like 67.
It's 80 today, for God's sakes. It's like a summer day. Can we get Stacy or Aaron or someone to please explain to him how nice shoulder season is and how we look forward to this all year long?
Let's just get back to the good stuff, Drake. That was a beautiful throw to Ramondre. Yeah. Let's forget the weather and humidity, and let's get back to the plays he made, the runs he made, the way he took advantage of a once great pass rusher named Matthew Judon, who's orange sleeves were not long enough to reach out and grab Drake's ankles. He allowed him to get in the end zone as Judon fell on his face there.
Yeah, right. He has three overall touchdowns. You're right.
Yeah, no, he had a very good day. You know, early, if you're watching that broadcast, the touchdown to Booty, who had a quiet day despite the great catch, it almost looked like an overthrow, and then you're like, oh, no, he threw it exactly where he wanted to, and Booty made a great catch, as he always does. Mm-hmm. No, this was a Josh McDaniels, Drake May. I don't know if we can give them the full-on get-right game, but it was definitely a bounce-back performance. The balance, the intended balance, where it was like 7-7, 13-13. Like, all along the way, it was perfectly balanced. Passing game, running game. Give the offensive line credit. They were opening holes for Ramondre Stevenson to allow you to be balanced. This was just a really nice answering of the call, and Drake had a an answer there, something like, you know, proof that when you emphasize something, you usually get results or whatever. And I think they heard the criticism, knew what they needed to clean up from last week, start fast, be balanced, things of that nature.
It was a great balanced attack.
They did
to start.
They did it. So give them credit. Our guy Josh McDaniels, who we talked to Friday afternoon on WEEI Afternoons, went out there and had a really, really nice game. I don't know. You know, there'll be the haters like you that will bring up the slow developing play and a couple different issues there. But
the haters like me, old negative
right
Nicholas.
Out the gate,
that's right, old frustrated Fitzy. Well, I was just sort of pointing out for the Pats historians among us that that play had been run before, was quintessentially McDaniels-ian, and didn't work a long time ago in obviously a much larger forum.
How come we don't call the wheel routes that work quintessentially McDaniels-ian, or the screen passes that work
Ramondre? We celebrate them.
Quintessential.
These are the things I love.
All the negativity from Fitzy sucks.
I was giving all the I'm out of flowers to give to people for the wheel route that Drake threw to Ramondre for 56.
What about the screen backed up on your goal line? There was like a third and 15 or something. You get the first down, boom, off your goal line. There was some really nice play
calls. How many Travion Hendersons? We got two Travion Henderson receptions today for 30. So each of them went for about 15 yards. Love seeing that as well. Miami wasn't able to catch up to it. I think the thing I liked most about the game plan was the fact that they realized, yes, they can get after the passer, and asking people like Hunter Henry to try to hold off Bradley Chubb for longer than 3 seconds is an absurd request. I think the thing I liked the most about it was Miami's safeties, the corners, especially Jack Jones, Rasul Douglas, and the linebacking core is soft and slow. And by using Ramondre and Travion and Gibson and trying to attack the middle of the field, which Miami later on did wisely so with Devon Achane, I think that was very smart of them early on. I heard once during the broadcast as well, I'm not sure if it was J-Mac or somebody else there. It was like five of them in the booth. But
Charles Davis? Says,
Charles Davis, yes. I think it was Charles Davis who might have said like, oh, watching this one, I could blink, close my eyes. And it's like watching the Bengals game last year when Ramondre ran so much. Yeah, the difference was last year, as we've pointed out time and again, 120 of those 124 yards came after first contact. There were a few times today he wasn't getting touched until he was 5-8 yards up the field as well. Miami, that is a very bad defense. That is not to say the Pats is significantly better. It's a very bad team.
That's a team that execution on offense included putting a bullet in its own head by having a false start followed by having to take a timeout. Like, that's how bad they executed on offense. And, you know, your genius, Mike McDaniel, whatever, Tua is supposed to be this great game manager. There were a lot of missed opportunities for the Miami Dolphins there. But whatever, I'm with Vrabel. Part of NFL success is taking advantage of mistakes, taking advantage of opportunities and gameplay and the ebbs and the flows. Mm-hmm. You got a victory. You deserve the victory on the road, especially. You know, if this game was at Gillette, I might even look at it a little bit differently. You went to Miami, a place where we talked about it with Josh McDaniels. He chuckled, remember, when I said, like, Patriots have kind of sucked in Miami for 50 years going back to Squish the Fish, and he chuckled. And you went down there and got we were calling it a must win.
It was must-winish, and I'll tell you
what. Well, they won.
If you found a way to lose after you opened up 12-0.
They tried.
Which they tried valiantly many times.
They played hot potato with the game. No, you take it. No, you take it. No,
I almost allowed their. I almost allowed their resilience in the end as much as I do their want and ability to find a way to squander the game overall, but they didn't. And I know we had back-to-back Mike Vrabel and Drake May here on the Six Rings postgame show, so we didn't get a chance to really parse out what Vrabel said because we got right into Drake May. But I think that is the hallmark of the game. The team found a way to win. That is something that a young team that is full of people that are still getting to know each other and trying to develop chemistry, as it is a unique combination of holdovers, free agents, and recent draft picks, with coaches like linebacking coach Zach Kerr calling his first game in the NFL because your defensive coordinator is out with a mysterious illness or some sort of condition. They found a way to get the job done in the end. And, greater things have been done from less. And this could be a springboard. Well, this could be a confidence builder for the Patriots because they got a big one coming up next Sunday against the suddenly white-hot Aaron Rodgers and the Yinsburg Steelers at Gillette Stadium. So much to break down, so much to analyze, so much to discuss, and we are thrilled to have you aboard. We see your calls stacking up at 617-779-7937. Of course, don't forget, we'll be with you till just after 6 o'clock in the 5 o'clock hour. Of course, thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll take a look at the rest of the league in what was an absolutely banana town 1 o'clock window for Week 2, 2025. Here in the NFL, you're listening to Andy Jumbo Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and everyone here aboard the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. Okay, I like the fact, Andy, as we hear from Patriots coach Mike Vrabel from Miami just moments ago as he speaks in victory. His first victory as head coach of the New England Patriots. Of course, final score, your New England Patriots with a Larry Bird versus 27 points for the Miami Dolphins. And this is the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. I'd like to ask you this, Andy. I like the fact that Mike Vrabel doesn't come out and just go full-blown Mayo, or doesn't go rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, cheerleading, and go like, oh, man, Drake was just terrific. Wow, what an unbelievable. Like, this kid's got it. I told you all, didn't have too much on his plate, him and Josh. But rather just like, hey, did a lot of good things, a couple things that we're going to need to clean up. Like, there was some pragmatism there. Like, the reality still has a seat at Mike Vrabel's post-game table. Though I will say, if there are some things to clean up, like getting in out of the huddle quicker or some false starts and way too many penalties, my God, you would have thought it was a freaking Coast Guard class the way the second half was rolling for the Patriots. There were so many flags on the field. A lot of that it's not his fault if like someone lines up in, you know, offsides or commits holding again and again and again. So how much do you think is Vrabel just being Vrabel there, and how much do you think Drake May really has to, quote, work on or clean up this week?
A little bit of both. I think in general, those comments, while attributed to Drake May's performance, were more general reaction to the game. Like, people are getting mad at me online for tweeting out that it was a really fun game between two bad teams. Like, they weren't good. And
you could have just said people are getting mad at me online, and everyone would have understood.
But that's the reality. Like, there was another comment from Vrabel in his press conference where he almost used, like, that Rocky clip. It's like, it's not how many punches you throw, it's how many you can take and keep getting back up. And he talked about, you know, I love that we showed our resiliency. Maybe we don't have to show it all the time, though. Like, let's just control the game, take a lead, and not have to show that we can continue to come back.
It's okay to go up 12-0 and then command the game the whole way out. You know, you guys, please feel free to have a box-to-wire win. It's okay. Like, you don't have to,
Yeah. Like, let's not miss tackles. Let's not jump off sides. Let's not have all the holding penalties. Let's not do things that shoot ourselves in the foot. And I think some of that was kind of pushed in Drake's direction. But I do also think once the quarterback is truly established as the it guy in the huddle and the it guy on the offense, I do think his reminding guys, you know, snap count, efficiency, whatever it may be, can hold guys to a certain standard. Now, is he going to get Morgan Moses in year 752 in the NFL to not false start? Like, no, probably not. But no, he's the quarterback, he's the leader, and you know, you ask for more out of him. But I personally thought this was by far the best performance from Drake May. Like, I don't know what the next best is, because there weren't really any like brain farts or really bad plays, or it was just smart, efficient. You know what this was? Even with the low numbers, what did he have? 23 passes?
19 of 23, 230 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing.
You know what I would compare this to? Is a guy that I'm sneaky starting to compare him to quite a bit.
Who's that?
Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts goes out there and you're like,
this is the first show in America, ladies and gentlemen, where somebody has compared Drake May to Jalen Hurts. Interesting. Do go on.
And in a lot of ways, this is a developing take that I will, you know, kind of parse through verbally on live radio. Always a great idea. Always a very safe point.
Well, I think, you know, when the brass told us we were coming back for season 4 of the Six Rings postgame show, they said, now that you guys are also on in the afternoon, why don't you use Sunday as a workshop for Monday and Tuesday?
No, but like Drake May's, like this performance, rushing touchdowns, some smart scrambles, got out of bounds a little bit, but had an efficient passing day. Because Jalen Hurts is generally not like 33 of 42 for X billion yards. He's kind of lower numbers, but when you look up, he won the game and he did what his offense needed him to do to get the victory. I also would throw in there something we've kind of talked about. We're still learning Drake May's personality and body language, and do we like it? Do we not like it? What does it mean? Does it mean anything? And I think that's a Jalen Hurts thing. A lot of people look at Jalen Hurts and wonder, is he happy? Is he wound too tight?
Why is that guy always miserable? Yeah. He never looks happy.
So a developing take, maybe Drake May's got a little Jalen Hurts to him, both on and off the field.
If only he could squat 605 pounds and literally move men and mountains with his quarterback sneaks.
I thought you were going to go with, if only he can go to the Super Bowl twice early in his career.
Oh, yeah, and be the best player in that game twice as well. That's fine. Please feel free anytime soon. A couple of one check-in from the corrections department, a few statisticals, and then we will flip the script and go to hour number 2. top of the five here for the Six Rings postgame show on EEI. I apologize. I did check out on Steelers Seahawks when it was Steelers 17, Seahawks 3.
You were rolling. I didn't want to stop you.
Figuring that I should pay more attention to the Patriots as well as some of the other games that were legitimate barn burners. I had no idea that the Steelers gave up 28 unanswered points and got dog walked by Sam Darnold and the Seahawks in their own house. But you know what? They're also maybe not such a great football team as well. So that does change what we're looking at next week. We will preview quickly Steelers at Patriots at the tail end of the 5 o'clock hour coming up as well. And how about this, Andy? First time the Patriots score more than 30 points in how many years?
Since 2022, I believe it was the Browns. I think it was an October game.
That's right. It was a game in which afterward we did the post-game show, and then I wrote an article talking about how great the Patriots 2022 draft was for WEI.com.
Did you have the balls to say you hope it's not a walk it back Vrabel week this week when you wrote the most ridiculous column in the history of WEI.com?
At the time, literally all 10 people that they drafted contributed to that win. Tyquan Thornton even scored a touchdown.
Literally all 10 people sucked.
And like as soon as I wrote that, everybody was like, oh no, now we have to go in the toilet because Fitzy praised us on WEI.com. That didn't work out. But also, how about this? Drake May throws literally attempts half as many passes as he did last week. Last week he attempted 46 passes. This week, 23. The team scores 2.5 times as many points. How do you like that?
Quality over quantity. That was the story of the offense. And balance. It also helps when you run the ball more than three times in the second half or whatever the hell it was last week. So, yeah. Bounce back effort. The M&M boys, McDaniels, May, I thought, and just happened to be our guests
like
on WEI.
The M&M boys.
WEI Afternoons, Patriots Monday, Patriots Friday. Get all the answers from the most important offensive minds in New England.
Marcus, May, McDaniels, and the energetic guy. Well, it's 3 out of 4. It's not bad.
Yeah.
And we'll see which who we speak to, if anyone, from the defensive side of the ball.
Jeremy Springer. That could, if it's Jeremy Springer, by any chance, that could be a really interesting conversation. A lot to dig through there, good and bad.
A lot to work with there. We'll get to your calls as soon as we get to the top of the next hour. Of course, we'll continue discussing Mike Vrabel, the defense. What happened with the defense? Where are some of the guys that we heard so much about? How about Milton Williams coming through when it mattered most? That seems to be $104 million well spent. What's going on with the offensive line? How do they clean up 12 penalties for 75 yards? I was told, Andy, that we were past all of the false starts, the offsides, and the neutral zone infractions.
Oh, no.
No. There's still plenty more of that. And, of course, your phone calls. Andy's infamous, much beloved, never maligned thumbs up and thumbs down. In hour number two, of course, we'll get to the rest of the scores from week two in the NFL. I'd like to remind everyone the Steelers lost at home to the Seahawks.
You didn't need to remind anybody but yourself.
And then we will, of course, preview Steelers at Patriots before we hand it over to the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show Andy, is that a – I know we're talking football. Before we go to break, is tonight's Red Sox game a must-win for Crochet and the Sox?
It's more than a must-win. It might be a – might not be enough win. You want to hear negativity? Flip me over to the Red Sox side of things.
Yeah, wait till we get to the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow and talk some Red Sox. That's a tough one. All right, 617-779-7937. If you want to text in or give a call, Fitzy and Hart are with you here till just a little bit after six on the Six Rings postgame show following a Patriots win. Hallelujah in Miami.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.